The show is called Live and Local. It is your local performance connection. And on today's program, we will have the third of our series this week on the Elnora Guitar Festival happening at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. The opening night party was last night. And lots and lots of guitarists running around the center today and tomorrow. Many different events. You can go to the Krannert Center website and get the schedule for all of them. But we've got two conversations regarding performances happening tomorrow morning. One is at 10 o'clock with the Beijing Guitar Duo, a classical guitar duo. And then immediately following at 11 o'clock, it is the flamenco guitarist, singer, dancer, and conductor, actually, Maria Tamo. Both of those performances are being given in the lobby. Maria will be performing for us live in about half an hour. And first up, I have a conversation with one of the two members of the Beijing Guitar Duo. They had their Carnegie Hall debut just last year and have their first CD out, from which this music comes. We just heard a performance by the Beijing Guitar Duo from a piece by Radames Natale called Suite Retratos, the last movement, Chiquinha Gonzaga. And with me on the phone is one of the two members of the duo who are going to be playing at the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Her name is Meng Su. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hi.
Where have I found you? Are you residing in Baltimore currently?
Yeah, I'm still in Baltimore.
So you're a student still at the Peabody Conservatory of Music?
That's correct.
Yeah, and you and your colleague, Yamang Wang, met before you got to Peabody or once after you got to Peabody?
No, actually, we've known each other for more than 15 years, and you know, we came together to the United States. And we study here together with Maestro Manuel Barreco.
Is that why you decided to go to Peabody, specifically to study with him?
Yeah, that's the main reason.
And has it proved to be every bit of what you thought it would?
Yeah, it's great. I actually never thought it would be this great. But it is. Yeah.
So, you know, actually, you know, I nearly went to Peabody myself. My former horn professor was a former horn teacher was the horn professor there.
Oh.
He's now long gone, but so I've been to the place and familiar with Baltimore where I used to take lessons regularly. Mm-hmm. And how does where you're living now feel compared to where you grew up?
It's quite different. I find it quiet here, you know, with less people. And, you know, I mostly stay at school or in my apartment practicing, taking lessons and go other places to perform. I find it's more peaceful here.
Really?
It's
I've never been to China, but I think we all have our images of what other countries are like. And, that's not. I would have expected you to say the opposite for some reason.
Oh, really? No, I find it's more like it's good for making music. Like almost here, it's more quiet.
Wow. Well, that's great to hear. So you started the duo once you got to Peabody, right?
Yeah, actually, we played some duo pieces when we were back, but it was never a serious thing. So when we came here, our teacher, Maestro Barreco, he suggested we make it, a career out of this. And he gave us the name, the Beijing Guitar Duo, which I think is a great name. And it's been working really well.
So it's been how long then since you've been as a duo?
It's been, let me see, not that long. It's been 2 years, yeah, the official duo.
No, that's not long. This you're a brand new group. And you have a wonderful CD out in which I almost thought that you were paying tribute when I saw that one of the composers represented, one of the two composers represented was Sergio Assad, that you were paying tribute to this other great guitar duo who are the Assad brothers.
Yeah. Well, they are always our, you know, idol. And also Sergio, he is a wonderful composer. And we always like his music. And we always, we constantly keep his repertoire in our, you know, concert program. So, you know, when it comes to the CD, we just think it's going to be great if we, you know, do one of his compositions, you know, and one of his, you know, good compositions. And it's really good. It sounds good.
Well, and you've not only done one of his compositions, but you've done almost all. I mean, almost the whole CD is his music, except for the suite from which we just played a little bit.
The suite ritratto actually was his arrangement.
Oh, was it? What is it originally for, if it's not two guitars?
It was for a chamber group.
Oh, I see.
You know, with you know, Brazilian instruments.
What's the prevalence of the classical guitar in China?
It's obviously not as you know, popular as the piano and violin, but it's getting more and more popular, and more children start to learn the classical guitar, and we have the major in all the main conservatories.
You have a guitar major in all the conservatories.
Yes.
Do conservatories in China mix traditional music with classical instruments like the, you know, Western classical instruments like the guitar?
Oh, you mean the traditional Chinese instruments?
Yes.
Traditional Chinese music?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have traditional Chinese instruments majors. And we do sometimes have composers writing, you know, Chinese music. But you know the Chinese instrument looks like a guitar that called pipa.
Yes.
And they sometimes assume that we are alike with the pipa, and they sometimes write things. But we actually are making arrangements of Chinese music for two guitars. And we have made some, you know, piano music that was written by Chinese composers, and it's been working really well. It fits really well on two guitars.
Have you played any of the traditional Chinese instruments yourself?
Well, for fun, yeah. But not seriously. I could play some like a guzheng, you know, that with like 20 strings or something.
Yeah, the sort of a zither.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a beautiful instrument. I like that.
We actually have a wonderful performer on that instrument here in Champaign-Urbana in Illinois.
Oh, really?
Called Yu Cheng Wang.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just living here, well, for now. I don't know how long she'll be living here. And she'll be playing, actually, with the orchestra that I conduct, a concerto by Tan Dun. And I noticed that on your upcoming recording, which is scheduled to be out next month, you're doing a world premiere of music by him.
Yeah, it's an interesting project. You know, the funny thing is when it was our teacher's idea, when he heard Lang Lang's recording, his live recording at Carnegie Hall, he heard this piece by Tan Dun, and he thought, you know, it does sound very nice on two guitars, and he just did it. It took him a long time, but, you know, eventually he did it. And I think it sounds even better on two guitars than on the piano.
Ah, but you have a slight prejudice, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's called Eight Memories in Watercolor.
Yeah.
Yeah, people can look forward to seeing that in stores and iTunes and everywhere, I imagine, next month.
Yeah.
The second recording from the Beijing Guitar Duo. They're going to be performing at the Krannert Center at the Elnora Guitar Festival tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the lobby. And it's one of the free programs there. And we're talking with Meng Su, one of the two members, obviously, just two in a duo. Let's hear something actually that you're doing solo. You each have some solo performances on your current CD.
Yeah. When we are playing like full length concert, we each present a solo piece ourselves.
That seems like a good balance. Mm-hmm. Well, how about if we let, since we've heard a very up-tempo piece, why don't we hear this beautiful piece by Sergio Assad called Remembrance with you playing. Is this in remembrance of any particular person?
Well, I think it's a family member. It's a sad story.
Well, we'll leave it at that, and people can just imagine, create their own story as they listen to Meng Su playing music by Sergio Assad here on Live and Local. That was music by Sergio Assad called Remembrance. Sergio is one of the Assad brothers. Sergio and Odair make the wonderful guitar duo, who have been at the Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts in the past, and at the Kranitz Center on Saturday morning. You can hear the Beijing guitar duo. Meng Su was performing on that recording solo, and of course will be performing with her colleague tomorrow morning. The Assad brothers, when they were at the Kranitz Center, sometime in the last few years, did this little trick where they one of them got behind the other and they both played one guitar. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever tried that?
We tried to do that, but it never worked. Yeah, I guess we were not, sisters.
Oh, is that the trick?
Yeah, I guess so.
You have to have been born together to pull that off. No, really, I mean, aside from tricks like that, have you worked with the Assad brothers at all or any other duo guitarists?
Actually, no. We had, Sergio written a piece for us, the Malagaite, but we never played with them.
But you've met and heard them, I'm
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, I know you've worked with Manuel Barrueco, and in fact, I noticed you're going to be playing in a trio with him either coming up, or has that already happened?
It's Keep Coming, and it happened in Europe twice already. We're going to play in the America, and it's going to be in November, I think. Yeah, and we're going to share like one concert with mainly trio works, and he's going to play a solo piece, and we're going to play a duo piece, most likely the Tandun piece.
The Eight Memories in Watercolor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've already made the recording, of course. It'll come out shortly. How much music is there for a guitar trio? Usually you hear of duos or quartets, it seems.
Yeah, they're not many. They're very little, actually. The things we hear most of the time, they are arrangements from other, pieces, from other instruments. And actually, this is the same for duo. There are tons of repertoire for solo guitar, but not very many for duo. So one of our challenges right now is to find the right pieces and to, transcribe it for two guitars.
I'm surprised that with some of the well-known duos, and in the case of the Romeros, sometimes trios and quartets, that there aren't more arrangements already out there.
Oh, yeah.
But you still have to create quite a number for yourselves.
Yeah, sometimes you hear, let's say a piano work, and you find it very beautiful, and you just think, oh, I want to play it. Obviously not on the piano, but on the guitars. And I think, sometimes when you did it well, it would sound, very, very beautiful.
Do you find it easier to transcribe for guitars music for specific other instruments? For example, is it easier to transcribe music that was originally for piano than, say, for orchestra or a couple of violins or something?
Yeah, piano is easier because, you know, for two guitars, we can play more octaves and more in more range. But the main thing is also the octave, because they have obviously many, many octaves, and we only can do like four or five. And sometimes we have to compromise that. But it still sounds good.
I would think that, I guess, when you go from piano, which of course has one sound palette basically, because it's, you know, many notes but on the same instrument, mm-hmm. that there would be a similarity going to guitars, because even though you have two guitars, of course, it's still the same sound palette.
Yeah, but you know, we do have more colors, and you know, sometimes we can, you know, we play with our nails, and it can easily create you know, many different colors. It goes with the music, and, you know, it fits well in the music.
Well, and you can create harmonics and lots of other kinds of effects that
That's right.
one can't do on a piano.
Yeah.
Have you, I know you've asked Sergio Assad to write this piece for you. And your second recording is also going to have a world premiere on it. Is this something that you're imagining doing as a habit to get people to write things for you and then record those?
Yeah, I think one of the important things now is to bring new things to the guitar repertoire, and that'll actually, you know, bring more interest to the CD, and you know, it has a theme now.
A theme for your duo.
Oh, yeah, for the CD, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful to hear your work on this CD. The CD is called Maracaípe. Did I say that about right?
Yes.
And it's called that because that is the name of the piece of Sergio Assad that is world premiere that's on here. It actually closes out the CD. So I thought maybe we'd end our conversation here with Mengsu by playing the second of the two movements from here. It has the wonderful term... A wonderful name of Crab Walk. Any specific reason that it's called that?
Well, Maracaípe is a beach in Brazil, and this piece was written up on a trip with Sergio being there, and with all the beach, the waves. You know, he saw a crab, and you know, it's fun and it's lively. Actually, this movement, when you hear it, you hear a crab. You know, walking on the sand. It's really fun, and it's a good way to end this, you know, conversation.
And the recording. That's how you end the recording
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's the end of the recording, yeah.
Well, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
It's the Beijing Guitar Duo. They're going to be playing at the Krannert Center tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, a free concert in the lobby. Mengsu being joined by her colleague, Yaming Wang, and of course together called the Beijing Guitar Duo. Here is The Crab Walk from Maracaípe by Sergio Assad on Live and Local. That was music by Sergio Assad, actually the world premiere recording of a piece of his called Crab Walk. It comes from a two-movement work called Maracaípe and performed here by the Beijing Guitar Duo, one of the members of which, Mengsu, has been my guest this first part of Live and Local today. And the duo will be performing at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the lobby, a free program. It's part of El Nora, the Guitar Festival. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program is made possible with support from the Danville Symphony Orchestra. The symphony's 45th season will feature music that varies from opera to Broadway to classics from the 50s and 60s. Season memberships and single ticket information is available from the symphony office at 443-5300. Also at the festival tomorrow morning, in fact, immediately following the Beijing Guitar Duo in the lobby, is the flamenco guitarist, singer, and sometimes dancer and conductor, Maria Temo. And she is live with us here in the studio, and I'm really looking forward to hearing you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I just ascertained that you're from Akron, Ohio.
That's correct.
I think I just assumed from the look of your name, because your name is spelled M-A-R-I-J-A, and the exotic pictures of, and so on that you have on your website, I just figured you were from Spain or something.
Most people think that. I think that one ends up adopting the characteristics, but physically, no, I'm not Spanish at all.
Yeah, well, you sound very American, but of course, that doesn't necessarily say anything either. And it was really interesting to discover, actually, after I talked with Mengsu, that you and her colleague Yaming Wang and the three of you all went to the Peabody Conservatory and at least initially studied with the same guy.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I read that as well. It's very fun to have discovered that.
So you haven't run into them before?
No, I haven't.
So this really is quite coincidental that you're on the same show on the same day.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you started with Manuel Barueco.
I did my master's degree with him. That is correct, at Peabody, my graduate work. My undergrad, I had worked with Loris Chobanyan.
But Barueco's not a flamenco guitarist.
No, he isn't, not at all. He's a great classical musician. I've been doing flamenco since the age of 6. I fell in love with it at a very early age and just kind of led me to each discipline, from dancing to guitar to singing. And I ended up incorporating that style into my performances as well as my classical training.
How did you get hooked on the flamenco at the age of 6? I mean, it's not something that most people encounter at all.
Well, I come from a European background. My mother is Serbian and my father is Greek, and they very much appreciate European music. And my mom in particular was always fascinated with flamenco. And fate be it that we lived about 6 houses down from a professional flamenco dancer who, her kids and myself, you know, we went to school together and my parents met that way and found out that she was, you know, a professional in flamenco, and started having her teach classes for children and adults, and that was it. When my mom said, "Hey, Maria, do you want to take a flamenco class?" I didn't even know what it was, and I said, "Sure, why not?" And from that moment on,
that was the end.
Yeah, it was quite captivating.
Your life was determined.
I think so, actually, yeah.
I mean, you often hear people say that and you wonder, yeah, sure, I mean, can that really happen at 6? But apparently.
It just did something to me. I mean, it was some kind of calling, or something about it was extremely moving, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I really couldn't. And I just so look forward to going to class and learning the rhythms and the hand claps and the dance steps. And then when the guitar came into the picture, that was definitely like a bright tunnel just pulling me into just down this tunnel. I had to do it. There was just no stopping it. I really didn't have any control over it. I when people ask me, I usually say that it chose me, really.
Well, since you are here and you do have your guitar, why don't we just launch into something and see how much control you really have?
I might go out of control here. We could be here all day.
That's fine. We'll just cut you off at 1 o'clock.
Sure. This number is my own composition of a traditional flamenco work or style, I should say. Palo, they call it. Rhythmic form of called a bulería. I'll give you a sample of what I'll be doing. Thank you.
Maria Timo live here on Live and Local performing part of her own composition. You said you were giving us just a sample.
Mm-hmm.
This is a longer piece that expands on itself in the live performance?
Yes, more improvisational melodic passages that I'll put together in sections.
Mm-hmm. You're billed as guitarist, singer, dancer.
That's great.
Will you be doing all of the above tomorrow morning?
No, I definitely am not doing, I should say, I'm not doing the dancing. I have teamed up with a great flamenco dancer where we do tours and she does the dancing part. I've kind of put that in retirement for me at this point in my life, but I do coach dancers in flamenco in how to work with guitar and singing. But tomorrow I will be doing, such as this particular composition, my own compositions and arrangements of traditional flamenco works and also singing flamenco in a traditional aspect as well. As in addition, some new compositions that are more of a crossover in a flamenco style with my own pieces.
And we're going to hear a couple of samples yet.
Absolutely.
Of two of those types of things. So no dancing tomorrow.
No dancing. Mm-mm.
Well, that'll be fine. What is flamenco anyway?
What is flamenco? I would have to say it's a way of life that started with the gypsies in southern Spain. And to express their trials and tribulations through their livelihood, they created this art form called flamenco. And there are three aspects to it, the dance, singing, and guitar. And for every emotion, basically, that you have, there is a particular repertoire. And so you can express your feelings through this particular piece. And that is known by its chord structure, its rhythmic form, and it's also the sounds of the singing as well, the melodic contour of it. And that has developed through the years to expand in a more modern fashion today in flamenco as well, but the essence of it is still there.
So when you write a piece,
mm-hmm.
a new piece,
mm-hmm.
What do you have in mind in order to make sure it's a flamenco piece as opposed to, say, just a classical guitar piece?
Good question. First, one has to become familiar with what are the sounds and the styles of flamenco, and I could go into quite a bit of length about that. But in a nutshell, you have right-hand strumming techniques that aren't in classical or any other type of style of guitar playing that I know of that involve different type of rasgados, they call them, different fanning of the fingers, and you heard that in this piece, a lot of mm-hmm. strumming. And there's rhythmic forms that are not of traditional Western culture, like 12 count rhythms. That's one I just did here. And also the chord structure, which is more, if I speak more musically, like a more in the Phrygian mode type, I should say, because it's not exact, of a 4-3-2-1 progression. So if you have, that's a very Spanish sound progression. And so you include that into your playing. So I would say those three things, rhythmic accents, techniques, and the sounds, the chordal harmonies.
And then, of course, as you said earlier, you're essentially updating it anyway, so mm-hmm. all of this has gotten expanded over
sure.
over time. And you said there's the three elements between the singing, dancing, and guitar. How often are they combined in one or two people?
Oh, these are great questions. I love it. There are different types of performances. You have guitar and singing. You have solo guitar, and then you have guitar, singing, and dance. And they're all equally done. For myself and my dance partner, Ulrika Frank, I do the singing and the playing, and she does the dancing. And there's a lot of improvisation going on, because if you do know the basic structure and the feeling and the sound of the piece, then you have a lot of room for improvisation. But in addition to that, we also make choreograph items, or I'll come up with a melody and she'll dance to that, or she'll create a footwork passage and I'll create a melody to it. So there's a lot that you can also refine and present as a solid piece as well. But there is a lot of interplay, and this happens a lot in flamenco troupes quite a bit when you see them passing through the dance, singing, guitar element.
What about percussion? It seems to me, I always picture flamenco dancers usually using castanets or something?
Castanets is one type of instrument that was used mostly of the northern types of Spanish dances, but they have been adopted into flamenco in certain numbers. But a lot of times they're not used anymore today, but they still do exist. More percussion that came into flamenco is the cajon, which is a box that you'll see people doing percussion rhythmic patterns on, and that actually came in a bit when Paco de Lucía, who's a very famous flamenco player, revolutionized guitar playing, and he brought that instrument into the picture, into the flamenco world. So that's another percussive instrument. Of course, the first percussive instrument are the hand claps, all the different hand claps that dancers and singers use, and the dancers' footwork that they use.
Well, I actually thought in that piece that I heard dancers and the hand claps.
Interesting.
In just what you were doing. I mean, because you were, you know, the thumb was of your right hand was doing certain things, but also the fingers of your right hand were often playing the wood of the guitar.
That's right. There's also, we have on a typical flamenco guitar, you have a tap plate that protects the top of the guitar, but also it allows the nail to hit the wood and create a sound called a golpe, and we use that a lot in the techniques to give a little percussive flair. I think I did a little bit here. So you use that as part of a percussive, an ornament in your playing as well. Yeah, very, very good that you.
You also did that the toneless part, you know, where you just sort of stop the strings.
Oh, right.
And it was just percussive, but it sounded to me like dancing.
Yeah.
Or like it could have been.
I think that when you, as myself, if an artist has worked a lot with dancers, they pick up influences and put those aspects into their playing.
So you really haven't stopped dancing, in other words.
Hey, there you go. I'll use that line. Yes. I'm still dancing through my playing.
I'm still dancing. That's right. We're talking with Maria Timo, who is going to be at El Nora, the Guitar Festival, tomorrow morning at the Krannert Center. It's actually a free program. Starts at 11 in the morning in the lobby, and she'll be following the folks who were, well, represented by by my guest earlier on the show, the Beijing Guitar Duo. Also, that'll be at 10 o'clock. So it should be wonderful. A couple of hours, I mean, a wonderful weekend for anybody who's into the guitar. And a lot of people who don't think they're into the guitar, but really enjoy lots of different kinds of music. And we've got, I think we're going to have a little vocal coming up in just a moment. Let me mention that our broadcast today on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Do dancers ever sing?
I think that there are a lot of dancers who want to sing and a lot of guitarists who want to dance, and I think that they all want to, and some do. Some absolutely do, sure. But they tend to be specialized in that one particular discipline.
I would think it would be hard to dance and sing at the same at the same time, which is really what I was thinking.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is difficult. You have to learn how to do the coordination of it, and that's just something I ended up feeling a need to do.
Well, lots of people in this world do play guitar and sing at the same time, and you're going to do it for us right now in
sure.
the flamenco style.
Absolutely. This is a sample of a traditional tangos that I've arranged, tangos form. Thank you.
Does one say ole at the end of a flamenco?
Absolutely.
I kind of felt like it. I guess I shouldn't have restrained myself. Huh? Maria Timo here on Live and Local, both singing and playing. She's going to be tomorrow morning at the Krannert Center at the Elnora Guitar Festival at 11 o'clock. So what were you singing about?
Boy, if I literally translate it, it probably won't make sense because it is Spanish poetry. But the form represents happiness, joy, and just basically enjoying life and living life to the fullest. Overall, that's the feeling that needs to be presented.
There was a particularly intense moment there for a little while that seemed, I mean, it was all kind of intense, but... It almost sounded like there was some strife going on.
There always is in flamenco. There's always that inner struggle or intensity, you know, the passion that you feel inside there. The words sometimes don't even make sense to what the seriousness is being sung. But overall, the feeling is correct. The Spanish character is represented.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so many songs don't really make sense, so... I guess that just fits into music, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be hearing more from Maria in just a couple of minutes. I want to I mentioned some of the other events going on in our listening area that you can go out and see and hear live. Steve Rodman and friends are playing at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tonight at 5:30. Tango Espejo are playing at the Channing Murray Foundation in Urbana on the University of Illinois campus tonight at 9 o'clock. It's Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tonight at 7:30. The Weasel Dreams Sextet are at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. It's the play Bleacher Bums being put on twice this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign, actually featuring a number of people here from WILL, as a matter of fact. The 31st Annual Traditional Music and Bluegrass Festival is at Lincoln's New Salem State Historic Site in Petersburg this evening at 6:30, and then that continues tomorrow and Sunday starting at 10 in the morning. The Sound Celebration Chorus sings Barbershop at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tombstone Bullet play the blues at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester. That's tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Nioga Blacksmith play at Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. On Sunday, it's Scottish singer and songwriter Jim Malcolm at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. That's Sunday night at 8. The Jim Markham Swing Band is at Eureka Lake in Eureka, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. The ISU Wind Symphony and Choirs present the 9/11 Memorial Concert at the Center for the Performing Arts on the ISU campus in Normal, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. There's also the University of Illinois Black Chorus giving the 9/11 Memorial Concert, a short world premiere of a work beginning at about 7:45 Sunday morning. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact time, but it's right around 7:45. It's the Mean Lids CD release party at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And finally, the Gary Warnick Trio play jazz at Long Creek Vineyards in Decatur Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. This show is live and local, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday, it's 10 favorites from the Corkscrew's own Beto Jimenez, followed by live music from 7 to 9 p.m. by the Lamont Parsons Experiment. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. You are listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. And we are, of course, a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. For the full schedule of events at the Elnora Guitar Festival, go to krannertcenter.com. But once again, Maria Timo will be there tomorrow morning in the lobby at 11 o'clock. It's been a pleasure so far to have you on, and I know you've got something else to do for us yet.
Yeah, I've been doing some composing in the flamenco style of some crossover works, and I'm actually going to do a couple of arrangements, or one arrangement and a couple of my own compositions tomorrow as well. So I thought I'd give you a taste of one of those as well here.
Do you, at the end of performances, visit with audience members and let them ask you questions and so on?
If they like, absolutely.
Well,
sure.
One of the questions I was going to ask, and we won't have time to find out the answer, is what is a hybrid flamenco and classical guitar? You play one.
Mm-hmm.
So folks can ask if they're really interested.
Absolutely.
Maybe I will.
Okay.
But let's hear you play it.
Sure. This is a new work called Being Here Right Now. Thank you.
at the virgin green trees, rolling down the window, feeling that awesome breeze, smelling that sweet honeysuckle, feeling so good I had to smile with a chuckle. And being here right now, in this moment, is so special that I just can't ignore it. Being here right now, in this moment, feels so good that it makes me want to sing. Accelerator, feeling the speed of the car, oh yeah. My cat's riding shotgun, grooming, licking, looking, having fun in the car. Looking up at the sky, seeing the planes flying by. I just can't believe the patterns they leave in the sky. The sun's blazing out, gotta get out the shades. The sky's a perfect blue, the clouds are drifting by two, and I'm so grateful for this view. Driving down the highway, they're driving down the highway, highway makes me make.